Hi everyone, I'm Lee Stabert, Editor-in-Chief of Keystone Edge. Welcome back to PRISM, a podcast series produced in partnership with the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts. The goal of these conversations is to shine a light on the power of creativity in PA communities. Here are some fun facts. The film industry employs almost 10,000 people in the Pittsburgh region. From The Dark Knight Rises to an upcoming Ethan Coen movie to my personal favorite, Mindhunter on Netflix, which I couldn't help but mention multiple times in our conversation, groundbreaking entertainment is being created in southwestern PA. And then there's Lancaster County. 80% of the Billboard Top 100 tours were built out and conceptualized at Rock Lidditz, a conglomeration of companies and creatives that have become a mecca for the event production sector. These industries have taken root in our state, and they are growing economic engines. But that doesn't happen on its own. People need to be trained for these careers, and they need to know that well-paying jobs in these dynamic fields exist close to home. Taking center stage to discuss these issues are two women who have built careers in film and event production, and who are helping bring the next generation aboard.
I'm Dawn Kieser, director of the Pittsburgh Film Office. We represent 10 counties in southwestern Pennsylvania.
So can you tell me a little bit about what the Pittsburgh Film Office does? What are your big picture goals, and what does that work look like day to day?
The Pittsburgh Film Office is a 501c3 nonprofit economic development organization. Our focus is on the film industry, but it's really all about bringing that kind of work. So TV, movies, commercials, we used to say anyone rolling any kind of film, but now it's rolling any kind of technology where you're resulting in a picture. We bring that work to southwestern Pennsylvania. So they hire our over 10,000 members of our local crew, use our local resources, and take advantage of the amazing diversity of locations that exist here in southwestern PA.
And what are the most popular types of locations? I was trying to think about things that I know that have been shot in Pennsylvania recently, and I know a lot of it is sort of post-industrial, or if you're trying to recapture some time in the past, because there are some beautiful, really well-preserved towns, but can you speak a little bit to that?
That was a nice way to say they're looking at the old stuff, but the...
Just things that I've watched. I was like, oh, this is Pennsylvania. Like my husband and I loved Mindhunter, and I know they shot all of that in a lot of that in western Pennsylvania.
Yes, we're going to be forever grateful to David Fincher for bringing Mindhunter season 1 and 2, because that's what brought Netflix to southwestern PA. That was our first Netflix project. The number one most requested location is looking like New York. We can do New York better than New York does, primarily because we can shut traffic down for driving shots and they really can't. As you pointed out, we're really good at period pieces, but our real claim to fame is the fact that we can almost look like anything in the world, as long as you don't need a beach or a desert. Now, for the beaches, we've been sending them up to Lake Erie. That's about a two-hour drive outside of Pittsburgh, so we've done that a few times. And, you know, you can do the desert if you dump enough sand in a parking lot, which we did on the film The Warrior when we used a closed shopping mall and made it a desert. So it can happen, but really, they come because we can look like New York. We can look like San Francisco. We've done the Ukraine. We've done Paris. One of my favorites is a movie called Desperate Measures, shot way back in 1996. They hop down a manhole cover in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and when they pop back up, they're in downtown San Francisco. It's the most amazing rapid transit you've ever seen. And if only it were true, we could all go there for lunch today and then come back home. But it's really because of the topography, because of the 90 different ethnic neighborhoods that exist in the city of Pittsburgh by themselves, you get all these great looks. We've saved our old architecture, but we've built some brand new, really cool stuff like the PPG building in downtown Pittsburgh. So you're able to get that look. Plus, you've got farmland within 20 minutes. You've got the mountains within 40 minutes. So you can get all those looks. Plus, we've got 2 closed prisons in southwestern PA, which is a huge plus for movies, not for normal people usually, but
as they used in Mindhunter.
We were in all the prisons with Mindhunter.
I think a cool thing would just be to share maybe a few high profile projects that people might recognize. I think a lot of people don't realize how much film activity happens in western Pennsylvania.
We have been very fortunate in southwestern PA to have hosted over 250 film projects since 1990, which is when the film office started. There's actually 2 Best Picture winners from southwestern PA, one being Silence of the Lambs, which filmed in 1990, the other being Deer Hunter, which filmed way back in the mid-70s. But, you know, we're going to claim them all even before the film office started, which is in 1990. Most recently on your screen, you would have seen Sprung, which aired on Freevee by Amazon. That was Greg Garcia who directed that show. League of Their Own, the TV series for Amazon, also just recently aired. We're hoping they're both coming back for a season 2. We're getting ready to start production on American Rust, the Jeff Daniels TV series that was on Showtime, which is now moved to Freevee. They'll be starting up filming here in about 2 weeks. And then we're wrapping up production right now on Mayor of Kingstown, season 2 for Paramount Plus. And we have a feature film with Ethan Coen. He's one half of the very famous Coen brothers. And Lee Daniels just left here filming a show called The Deliverance, which starred Glenn Close. We had Jack Reacher here. We had The Dark Knight Rises here. It's when Batman came to Pittsburgh and blew up Heinz Field with the Steelers in residence. It was an amazing experience. Our claim to fame on Dark Knight Rises is we dropped the unemployment rate one full percentage point in Allegheny County while they were filming because we hired over 10,000 people. And I say we, I'm using the royal we. The production hired 10,000 people to wear their winter clothes in July. Winter clothes, July, southwestern Pennsylvania, super hot. But they were hired to sit in the stands and play the people in the stands. And it dropped the unemployment rate one full percentage point in Allegheny County.
That's amazing.
So it's kind of, it's a fun industry, but why we do is about the fact that they hire people, they spend money while they're here, and we just want to keep that going.
Yeah, you provided the perfect segue right now, because what we really want to talk about is training and jobs and the economic engine that is created by these creative pursuits. So can you talk a little bit about how you guys connect workers with this industry and how you guys prepare workers for this industry?
Well, the most exciting thing we've started is it's our workforce training program called Pittsburgh Film Works. It's a partnership with our IATSE union. That's the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. Those are the behind-the-scenes workers. A lot of times I'll have people come to me, I want to be a writer, I want to be a director, and those are great goals to have. But if you look at a film production, typically there's one writer, maybe two. There's one director, sometimes two, like in the case of the Coen brothers. But on a typical TV series, I have 450 to 500 people that are working every single day. These are great union jobs. They start at $24 an hour with full benefits. So we looked at that and decided to start increasing our crew base by hosting training. So we've trained one group of grips, which are the people who move cables for easy understanding on this show. We're getting ready to start an electrician's training. The third training we'll be doing here in the next month is hair. We're going to teach people how to do hair, really focusing on diverse hair because there's so many different types of hair. We really need a educated, experienced group to know how to do those things. We've done this in the partnership, as I said, with the IA, also with a group out of New York called Real Works. They've done this successfully in New York, bringing them to Pennsylvania and into southwestern Pennsylvania. It's the first time they've left New York with this training. And this is how we're going to start increasing and rejuvenating our local crew base. We have over 10,000 people who work in this industry on a full-time basis who live in the southwestern Pennsylvania region. We're keeping all of them employed as long as we have our very successful film tax credit program, which is our incentive program in the Commonwealth. We will continue to see those numbers grow, the number of crew grow. So we're trying to train them now for the future so we've got places for them all to go to work. We operate on our website, which is pghfilm.org, a job listing. So anytime we know stuff's coming in, feature film, TV series, music video, anyone calls us, we'll put their jobs up on our website and our social media sites so that people who are working in this industry can have a way in.
I was just going to ask how people find you. And also, I think it's a communications marketing job to say to people, oh, you're from Pittsburgh and you want to work in movies, do it here. You know, you don't need to go to New York, LA. You're kind of breaking that perception.
Correct. And we also have a group called the Pittsburgh Film and Media Educators, which is made up of the seven universities and our local community college here in the region that all have a film program. So it was a way to start connecting them together so they could speak to each other, both the teachers and the students, but it was a way to connect them all to the local industry because the college graduates are interested in this business, but you don't have to be a college graduate to work in this industry, which is why we started the workforce training. So we're on the web, pghfilm.org. We're all the social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. And we try to put out as much information about what's happening here, how you get into the industry, where the jobs are. We have a YouTube channel because you are correct. You don't need to go to LA or New York. You can stay right here in southwestern PA and go to work. I argue that it's a better opportunity for you because it's a smaller population you're working with, as opposed to going to New York or LA, where there's thousands and thousands of people who might show up there every day wanting to work in this industry, and it's a little bit harder to get your foot in the door. This industry, like most, is based on relationships, and getting your foot in the door in that entry-level position, being the best you can be, and really making sure you stay connected to the people who you work with and who help you is really the key to moving forward in the business.
You're listening to Prism on Keystone Edge in partnership with the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, which believes that building stronger communities takes creativity. Learn more about how the council supports Pennsylvania's diverse creative sector at arts.pa.gov.
I'm Rachel Fennig-Hale. I'm the experience manager at Rocklytics. I'm also the author of Tour Book, which is a nonfiction book that looks at touring crews. We're based in Lititz, Pennsylvania, and specialize in working with the backstage of live event productions, specifically concert touring, but a whole lot of live events.
Rocklytics is one of those things that if you know, you know, and you're like, oh, it's Rocklytics. It's, you know, it's a big deal. Yeah, you guys really have a global impact in terms of doing event production. So can you speak a little bit to the scale of the work that you do? And then I'd also really just love sort of the back of the napkin story of how this business started and grew in Lititz in Lancaster County.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, specifically Lititz, Pennsylvania, is actually known worldwide for being sort of the home base and the hub of live event production. Actually, a lot of sources would tell you that it was actually the first place that sent gear on the road for a concert tour. So legend would have it, right? You know, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons were playing in F&M College here in Lancaster County. And it used to be really big name artists, Led Zeppelin, Frankie Valli, all these big people would play in a standard gymnasium or a community center or, you know, a college. And they would play with whatever equipment was there. They'd bring their instruments, but they would play with whatever audio was there, whatever lighting was there. But the experience, the audio experience at F&M College was so far beyond anything. They actually sought out the people who made them. And they were told, there's two brothers up in Lititz. The Clare brothers were building speakers in their mom's garage. And that was sort of the challenge. Can you make this delicate equipment transportable? Can you take it so that we can move it and set it up in every location? And it did take some time. The nuances of this gear is really delicate technology. But once they figured that out in the mid-60s, it didn't take people long to figure out how to put lighting on the road. It didn't take people long to figure out how to put staging and video and now special effects and pyro and all of these different pieces on the road. As the Clare company grew, they were really committed to staying in Pennsylvania. And they started bringing their friends. So Michael Tate, who kind of built his name for being the first person to put a concert tour in the round, he built these big structures you could put lights on, you could move the stage around. He and the band Yes sort of did that for the first time. He wanted to build a company up and started asking where. And he had heard that Lititz, Pennsylvania had some people. And so he came to PA. Some designers from the UK came. Slowly, this area was built up for live event production. By the mid-2000s, there were about a dozen companies working with really big arena and stadium level type productions. So the Clare family and one of the owners at Tate came together and really had this vision for creating a community and a hub for live entertainment industry, a place where we could create more work pathways, some additional trainings, and really have a place to build up the technical part of these shows. So they invested in about 100 acres in Lititz that we now call Rocklytics. It started with the main studio, which is a rehearsal space, 30,000 square feet of uninterrupted space, plus dressing rooms and catering to be able to support these rehearsals. From there, the campus grew. We have a hotel on campus. We have a gym. We're now up to two big studios with three smaller locations also available to us. And we have 35 different live event vendors on our campus. So while Rocklytics is the campus itself, each individual company, we have some that specialize in lighting. We have some that specialize in audio, some that specialize in video. And so collectively, the idea is that the Rocklytics community can better support each other because we are working towards similar clients. We're working on similar final products. And so being able to better understand as a lighting person what the audio team needs, or as a rigger what the automation and staging departments need, it allows us, ultimately, all of these different departments have to come together for one show, right? When you go to a concert, you don't think about the audio team and the lighting team and who's running the special effects. You just go to see the concert. And the goal at Rocklytics is that we get to practice that collaboration a little more intentionally so that we can hit the road and really kind of up the scale of what we're able to offer audiences.
If you think about contemporary global touring, each tour has like its whole own aesthetic, its whole own lighting scheme. And it's a whole different thing than, you know, four or five people getting up on a stage with some guitars. People are paying a lot of money. So I think they're competing with a lot of other artists. Can you maybe share a few of the big name artists that have worked with you guys recently?
Absolutely. I mean, concert tours is interesting because it's this place where you take this creative artistic vision, right? This artist who's producing this music and this show. It's not just concerts, by the way, it's also, you know, interactive marketing, it's corporate stuff, it's big scale artists that have large installations, but you get this beautiful artistic vision. But the companies at Rock Lititz are really the components that need to support the technology as well. So it's where technology can support this art. And you're right, a lot of the shows coming out now are custom, right? Every look is unique, every look is different. And so being able to come together to build up what that potential vision could be. We are really fortunate. We work primarily at that arena and stadium level show. Out of the Billboard Top 100 over the last 20 years, we average at least 80% of the shows have gear that came out of Lititz. So we work with artists like the Rolling Stones, Taylor Swift, Bruno Mars, U2, Bad Bunny, Adele, the Eagles, Maroon 5. They need the space to be able to build the technology. They need the space to create this spectacle. Like you said, it's more than just a few people with instruments anymore. This type of community is building the large spectacles that you see for these big audiences.
Yeah, so let's get to the next part, which is how do you find people then to do this work? And I know a lot of people maybe are bringing in teams to work temporarily to build out the shows, but I'm assuming they're also relying on local resources. And what is the role Rock Lititz has in cultivating that workforce?
So it's actually both. We have over 1,500 employees local to our Lititz-based campus. That's between 35 different companies. So we do have some smaller companies, right? 20 people, 30 people making it happen. And we have some larger ones, 200, 300 person companies. To make all of these shows and these gears happen, we still need full office support of people who live and build and create right here. So that is a standard full career path year round based here in Pennsylvania. But we do bring in our crews range anywhere from 50 to 150 people that come in for 3 weeks to, you know, 2 months worth of time here. And as Dawn mentioned, right, when you bring in extra people, it's not just the physical travel to the space, it's all the spending that happens in connection to the productions too. So they're building up their shows, they're using local resources, staying in local accommodations and eating in local restaurants, but they're also training with us locally. You know, they're also developing safety programs and various other aspects locally, which has really been interesting to watch. So a big part of what we can focus on at Rock Lititz as a community is trying to target and support our employees collectively across the board more. So our sort of training tier reaches two different spaces, right? One, we work collectively with the Rock Lititz community to provide programming for all the employees across the various companies to help advance their own personal careers. Some of that's safety, so it's regular access to CPR and first aid training. It's regular access to lift certifications because you need those, regular access to electrical trainings, really trying to create these safe workspaces, not just for our employees here, but those who travel through the space as well. We've also been able to kind of expand and offer some leadership development, conflict resolution, sexual harassment, the types of stuff that benefit all of us and help create this safer space to work in various ways. And then we do come together for fun too. We have a big Halloween party, a big battle of the bands. We do a lot of fun social happy hours. So really believing the idea that the more we know each other, the more we trust each other, the easier it will be for us to get future gigs. The second tier is we're really trying to expand our programming around awareness of our industry. For so long, it was a mark of success if nobody thought about who was backstage. No one thought about who was moving the gear and who was getting people back and forth. But when you go to the concert, there's hundreds of people on the touring crew, and then there's hundreds of local people in every venue. You've got security, you've got all your concession stand folks, you've got all of your parking attendants, you've got all the venue staff that makes that function, all of your cleaning staff. So it really is a whole army of people bringing those networks to you. So we're able to offer more collective internships across our communities. And a really big immersive day we really enjoy called Live Event Career Exploration Day. We do one for high school students in the spring and one for college students every fall, where we're able to just be able to get students a clearer pathway in. You know, yeah. This is a place where you can have a career as an artist, and not a lot of people talk about it.
What was that year you were saying was when Rocklitz was codified, when like they really came together and built and just made the plan for the campus?
The first studio opened in late 2014.
It's interesting to think moving forward about sort of the generational impact that's going to have on people who grow up in the area. Like you think about a company town, you know, you think about, oh, my dad worked in the steel mill. Like I'm going to work in the steel mill. And that for this next generation of kids who grow up in Lititz, it's just going to be in the water for them. You know, I think they're going to have friends, parents, and, you know, people who come speak at their high school. All of that stuff are going to be in this industry and hopefully makes it feel attainable, you know, because I think when someone hears live event production, it might not feel so attainable. It might feel like something that you need kind of access to get into.
I will just say, I'm not from the area and neither is my husband. We both do this kind of work. I was able to start my career touring. I originally went to school and really was chasing a career in TV production. So actually a great place to stress the fact that I grew up doing theater. I did some training in TV, really didn't know anybody and got sort of happenstance pulled into this touring world. All of those skills across these production arts are really transferable. It's about being organized. It's about being able to communicate well and collaborate on these teams.
Now I'm going to bring Dawn and Rachel together to talk more about their work and why PA is so well situated to thrive in these creative fields. I think the idea that you can be in a creative field that is also a very hands-on field and that does not necessarily require like an extensive college degree, I think would be very exciting to people if they knew it existed.
I know for myself, I grew up near Chicago and was brought up in a really traditional educational system where there was one way to be smart, and it was if you showed up and tested well and got certain grades on these tests, you were smart and put in tracks, right? And if you weren't, or if you were really physical or like to move around. And where I grew up and at that time, even as an arts student, it was like really celebrated, really strong arts programs, but as a hobby, right? And so there just wasn't a lot of outlets for certain types of students who had really passionate, driven intentions. When I started on my first tour, and met people who didn't have college degrees, but who could open up a motor and fix a motorized automation problem within 5 minutes, who could see the way something needs to fit in a space and be able to navigate that spatial awareness in a way that they can create these amazing solutions for things. It was an environment where those types of solutions were celebrated in a way I had never experienced, where you would be the smartest, most celebrated person in the situation because you had the skills needed for that moment, because you could show up and be a team player and bring ideas to the table and use your hands to create this beautiful picture. And something that I loved the most was that it wasn't always one person. It was usually how a team of people showed up together and could bring their collective physical skills to make something work as a full picture. In our world, it doesn't really matter what degree you show up with. Quite honestly, it doesn't matter if you show up with tattoos all over your arm or you show up in cargo shorts or your hair is whatever color. We need painters and sculptors. We need computer programmers. We need carpenters. We need designers. We do need business managers and accountants too. We need all these different types of strengths to come together. And not all of them have to have a traditional education path. It's about having a better attitude and a willingness to learn and collaborate together in that space.
I think your description was great. And it's true in film production as well. There is no direct pathway to success in this industry. It does not require a degree. You got to show up and you've got to build those relationships. And for the most part, especially when there's a lot of work, which we have right now, thanks to the increased demand for content, there's a lot of opportunities. So people are going to be more willing to welcome you in and train you and help you as long as you're open to that process. I get in trouble a lot with the film schools throughout the state and other places because I say, you don't have to go to film school. You don't have to go to college. I believe you should at least get a high school degree because they still look at those things. But the electric training that we're going to start here in January, you're going to have to pass a simple math test, but that's the only requirement. That and to be 18.
What does this training look like? I know you spoke to an internship program. Are these full-time programs? Are these paid programs? How does one apply? How does one sort of get the foot in the door?
Well, in our case, our program was funded in 2018 with a state grant. And then, of course, COVID hit and all those other things went on. So we just started. So we've graduated our first class of 10, which was super exciting. And we've got the next class getting ready to go. I think we're doing 10 of these cohorts, and then we're going to track them as they go along. All of the information is on our website. It's all on our social media. They apply. And the focus is people who are really interested in learning about this industry. And ours is a paid training. What we've learned with workforce training, and I'm sure you guys have learned this at Rocklitz as well, is if someone wants to try out for a new career, they need to be paid because they can't go leave their paying gig to go learn this new gig and, you know, take all that time. They're taught, in our case, by union crew, and it's a direct pathway to union membership, which is also key for the work that we're doing. The film industry work, especially in southwestern Pennsylvania, is primarily all union work. So it gets them a leg in the door. It gives them a mentor in the union to help them as they move down the pathway of how you get a job in this industry. And it's just a matter of, you know, again, connecting and making those relationships.
We also do a lot of work with IATSE. Our local unions help with the load-ins and the load-outs of all of our large concert shows. It really is an amazing resource to help people get started. Even if your ultimate goal would eventually to be to work for a vendor or to go out on tour, the support that our local crews can offer these shows is essential, right? Every time a concert tour shows up, it's with the gear that that team knows, but that team doesn't know the building. They need their local talent to be able to really make sure that that gig happens safely. It's also a great opportunity for people to learn. If you are just starting out, you're seeing all the different gear. As a stagehand, you're able to try all of these different things. And there is usually a lot of seniority in that organization to be able to help teach you. For us, we do offer collectively across the Rocklitz community, all 35 companies are eager to find talent where we can, right? And so many of them do offer internships. We primarily focus on summer-based internships at the moment, although that is growing down into high school opportunities, sort of co-ops, as well as creating some unique different pathways coming up. The bulk of our focus is really keeping our current employee staff trained and kind of engaged. So as you come and start working for our teams, across the board, it is usually kind of preached this idea that you can get the specific training for what you need in that specific job. Again, a lot of it is this mentality, this attitude, this willingness to jump in and work well together. We're working long hours in sometimes high stress situations. So being with someone who you're able to spend that time with is a big piece of it.
I'm actually seeing sort of an opposite phenomenon. One reason I think that Pittsburgh and the southwestern Pennsylvania can really hope to have this really large, thriving film industry is because of the splintering of the film industry. The idea that TV production, content production can happen anywhere. And maybe it has nodes, but there are a growing number of places where there's infrastructure for this. Rocklitz is kind of making the argument, come here. This is the place. We're going to be the place in the world for this. We're going to take 80% of the huge global touring acts and we're going to build this here. So I don't know. I was just noticing actually that sort of funny tension there. Maybe it's just because these industries are so different. I think with film, the amount of equipment that you need is shrinking. You know, you can always say people have, you know, anyone can make a video now, but with a touring production, it seems like these things are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, I think you're kind of right. When I started here, I've been here 28 years. Our goal was to get a TV series. I had 5 shootings simultaneously. And prior to the ability to be able to move this equipment around easily, the incredible explosion of the amount of content that's needed, right? We would never see a TV series in Southwestern PA, but now we get them all the time because they're going where the incentives are. They're going where the trained crew is because it's all about the money. At the end of the day, it's a great industry. It's a lot of fun, but it's all about what they're spending while they're here. And they need to save money while they're making this product. And if we have the trained crew to do it, I think in Rocklitz's case, they've become the center of the universe for tour groups, right? It's kind of cool. It's a great highlight for Pennsylvania. It's a great selling point for Pennsylvania. But some of those people, and please correct me if I'm wrong, they're training them. And some of them are leaving with your touring acts, aren't they? Aren't they going? And
some of them, but most of us stay here. A lot of us are local. We do bring people in. So I think the thing is, as the industry has grown up, since the 60s, it's still really a young industry, right? And it didn't matter where you lived and where you were based, because the tour would come together and start and you travel with it. So your work is on the road and your work is traveling. So it wouldn't really matter where that home base was as much. So your tours and your industry were spread out all over the world. But we are finding, and you know, over the years, these companies that were sort of initially started here in Pennsylvania found a huge asset in being close together, to being able to share some of those similar clients, being able to rely on each other and grow together. So by being able to say, you know, hey, we really haven't called one central place home, it would help if we have somewhere that we could create as a destination, right? A space where our crews can come and feel supported, where we could create a community that can grow and enhance what we're able to do together. One of the hard parts about being kind of fractured all over the place is that it really was a freelancer's world. You do one show and then you jump to the next show, and your experience on those two different crews might be vastly different. And that's still maybe the case, but the idea of bringing us together and being able to have more of these focused and intentional conversations, these more intentional home base, we're able to advance kind of the collective industry a little more. We're able to have more conversations that push across all crews, that push across all tours. And so we do have a lot of crews that come through that live all around. And we do have a handful of crews that we train here that do go out on tour. But the most of them are based here in Pennsylvania, so their families are here. And then when they're in between tours, they're here back on campus working as vendors and working as staff here locally.
Oh, that's really cool.
I would love you guys both to just look into your crystal balls and talk about what your hopes are for your industries and what you need to get there to that sort of best case scenario. What are the things you need kind of from the state, from the community? What are the chips that need to fall your way to get to where you want to go?
What we're looking forward to is we're building infrastructure in southwestern PA. I was part of the team that created the film tax credit 17 years ago, and the plan to have an incentive was to draw this industry here so that more of it would come. They would start building into the infrastructure, and they would become part of the fabric of our community in southwestern PA. Because of the ups and downs of the incentive, we haven't always been able to make that happen. So we decided we're going to do it ourselves. So we broke the ground 2 weeks ago for the Pittsburgh Film Furnace, which will be a soundstage complex built in Rankin, Pennsylvania, which is about 7 miles outside of downtown Pittsburgh. It will consist, when it's completed, of 6 soundstages, some office space, a construction mill, with the goal of all these different businesses that are in the community that are already leasing space to get everybody centralized, kind of like what Rock Lettuce has done, right?
I got to say, sounds like Rock
It's also kind of like what the studio complex idea is about. When you have a production happening, they're all there together, and you need the plywood to be delivered, and you need the 7 cases of Diet Coke to show up, and you need whatever else. It all needs to be close by. And the study we did in 2016 said centralizing that would really help. So, you know, I drive over the bridge in Rankin, and I can see it. I see it finished. I see 6 stages down there. It's why we're doing the workforce training. I see us doubling our workforce in this industry. And I see when they start talking about what really makes up Pennsylvania, the EDs, the MEDs, the tech flex spaces that they're building, that the Pennsylvania film industry will also be part of that conversation. I love when you talk about what you were talking about with Rock Lidditz, that it grows up, it's in the water, and people will come to career day and it's like, oh, my daddy's a key grip on a feature film. My mom happens to be the best boy on a TV series, that those are going to be part of normal things that people see here. So that's where I see us headed.
Really is amazing to think about all the cool stuff happening in Pennsylvania. Thank you, Dawn. That's really cool. Rockland is excited to see kind of what comes next. Obviously, the pandemic was impactful on everybody, but really impactful on our industry. However, we are definitely in a very big booming comeback. And so right now, our biggest focus is getting people and talent into those positions. We're doing a lot of educational events around driving awareness. And I would also say, I think the state is very supportive in how we're able to approach these different things. We also have an economic enhancement program that's been really well supported. Believe that it's evident to our clients when they come here that there is an infrastructure and a pathway to support this. You know, we're really focused on the long game. It's not about what's happening today or tomorrow. It's about how we can continue to grow. Rock Lidditz will have an educational institution being opened on campus within the next couple of years. We just broke ground on that. We're partnering with an educational university out of the UK called Backstage Academy, where we can do hands-on trainings for both 2 and 4 year certifications. We're really eager to be able to continue building up our pathways both into the industry and also for people who, as they're coming off the road, to have a place to come. If maybe touring is not their focus of their career anymore, but they still have all those talents to be able to put towards building shows. Again, our main focus is really just getting people in. This is interesting and exciting work. There are career paths and salary paths available here that draws upon people's passions and people's creative talents and skills. And so for us, it's just a big focus of letting people know that we're here and that this type of work exists and is so strong in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And Lititz is just an adorable town as well. It's so vibrant. It's so, you know, for a smaller place, it has sort of a really nice urban feel, really walkable. And I'm sure this huge influx of people and talent and dollars doesn't hurt.
It's really, Lititz is so charming and so cute. It keeps getting put on all these, you know, national lists for cutest Main Street or best small town. And I think part of our success is the fact that we're able to offer all of this work stuff next to this very charming town where people are really welcomed and invited, and there's great restaurants and there's great shops. And so, you know, if you're moving into a location for a month or 6 weeks or 2 months at a time, where you are is really important, and Lititz is adorable. You can't be any place better.
Look, I think Rachel's right. There's a lot of really cool things happening in Pennsylvania, and the one thing I would ask the state is to try to figure out a better way to highlight them. Right? It becomes a communication issue, as you said from the very beginning. We're doing a lot on our side. Sounds like Rock Lititz is doing a lot from their side, but I know we focus on a lot of the tried and true. And I think it would be really cool to start highlighting more of these sort of outside the box thinking that's working throughout the state and really start telling that story as well.
That's what this podcast is for.
Do you like how I set that up for you?
That's what PA Council on the Arts, that's why we're partnering with them. That's the whole goal, is to really shine a light on what's going on here, and that there are, you know, the synergy of creativity and economics and jobs and talent is just like, it's here and it's happening, and people are doing really exciting stuff.
We work with DCED all the time, the Department of Community and Economic Development. They do an ice cream tour. They do a brewery tour. I've been pushing really hard. They need to do a film location tour. We need to start talking about, you know, cool career tour, right? And really focus on the amazing colleges and universities that are located in the Commonwealth to tell them about these careers that are open to them that keeps the population growing in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I want to get into that creepy prison. Get me into the creepy prison.
Come on over. When do you want to go? I know my way around a little too well at the prison. I will say that.
I will say, collectively between our two industries, there's probably nothing we can't find you in Pennsylvania, because that's the right. Sort of like, but I guess that's something that I will offer, is that this type of growth isn't just good for our companies. It's not just good for the companies that create films. This type of growth is not only good for the companies at Rock Lititz. There really is an influx of people moving here, people traveling here, people wanting to be here because of this type of work. And by celebrating that and creating a welcoming space for that, it increases and creates this ripple effect for our communities as well. You know, it's good for the towns, it's good for the schools, it's good for the communities to be able to have those spaces as well. So it's been really neat to watch grow, and I'm really excited to see what's coming for the Commonwealth going forward.
It's all true. It's an economic driver. And because it's so diverse, I think it's hard for people sometimes to grab their arms around it. So that's why we have to keep telling the story.
That's it for our latest episode of Prism. Or we could just call it my pitch for you to watch David Fincher's Mindhunter on Netflix. If you have thoughts on the conversation you just heard, or ideas for what we should cover in upcoming episodes, please visit our website, keystoneedge.com, and reach out. You can also message us on Facebook or Instagram. Until next time.